Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. To another episode of Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could come on my teeth and call it a crown.
Oh, my guest today is a comedian. And
oh my God.
Who's part of one of my favorite improv groups, Wild Horses. You've seen her on Parks and Rec, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Veep, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and all four episodes of her new true crime podcast, Corked, can now be heard on HeadGum. Whoop-a-da-boo, I'm so excited for Mary Holland. Beep-bop. Boop.
Oh my gosh.
You were also in, I think I texted you about this, but maybe I forgot, that Netflix show that was like the lady across the hall from the window drinking the wine.
Yep, that's the title. Yeah. She's across the hall. She's drinking wine. She's a lady. It's all you need to know.
You were so funny in it.
Oh, thanks, Nicole. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. It's always delightful whenever you pop up on my TV. I go, oh, my friend is being funny.
God, I feel the same way about you. Always.
Thank
so
you.
Delighted by you forever and ever.
I like that.
Huge fan.
I'm a big fan. Do you remember that sketch we did way back when where we were students on a school trip and we find a sarcophagus and
yes.
Echo Kellum. His character just decides to be the mummy, and he goes, "Wrap me up." And we're like, "You don't have to. You don't have
you
to."
You don't have to. And then we had the slowest, and then we wrapped him in the slowest way possible, and just said goodbye to our friend. It was so funny. Oh my gosh. We had a great time. We did a lot of wild sketches together.
The fun aunts.
The fun aunts fighting over the bill. What was the name of the swamp?
Darbus, the river monster.
The river monster. That's right.
Oh, boy. You did one where you were like a sex ed teacher with condoms. That made me laugh so hard. I was so glad I wasn't in that sketch. Or maybe I was in it one time. I think you performed it twice. I don't know. But I like kept laughing and couldn't stop.
It's a real hoot. It's a real hoot. I try to demo how to use a condom on my forearm, which is, you know, optimistic.
It's so funny. Mary, are you a Disney person?
I am a Disney person. I love Disney.
So you've been to Disneyland?
I've been to Land and World.
Oh!
Not to brag.
I'd only been to World. Went to Land last night for my birthday. So my birthday was in August. This is now September, but I'm going to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, and, please.
Mary, There's supposed to be fireworks every night.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the deal.
There was nary a firework. They said it was too windy.
And who said this? Who is saying this?
I don't know. One of the park employees.
Oh.
One of the, I don't, what are they called? Fun curators? Do they have a name?
I actually think every single person who works there is called a cast member. I think every single person who works there is called a cast member. I could be wrong, but I think that's true. But also, I think that you could say that they're fun guarantors is also what they are.
Fun guarantors did not guarantee me fireworks.
That is so disappointing, especially when you like made the trip there specifically for that.
Mm-hmm.
And was that, you said that was your first time at Disneyland?
That was my absolute first time at Disneyland. I had never, ever been. I'd been to World once, or no, twice. And I was very upset both times. It was too hot.
Yeah.
My dad wanted to accomplish too much.
Oh, boy.
The water was too expensive. And I think I heard my dad grumbling about that. So in my head, I was like, water's $100. And it is. They sold me Dasani for $4.25 at every corner.
Oh, and Dasani, no less.
I know.
How dare they?
Mary, I was aghast.
Aghast.
And they did have smart water, but only in little pockets. You had to find the smart water.
You had to find the smart water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So are you, well, let me ask you this. At what time did you arrive at Disneyland?
A good old 8 p.m.
Okay, great. So you have not experienced Disneyland at all during the day?
No.
Okay.
And it was kind of hot last night, so I'm a little scared about the daytime.
Oof, yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't go into California Adventure. I hear that's where Marvel is.
The rumors are true. Marvel is there.
And I didn't ride any of the classic ones like Space Mountain or what's another classic one?
Oh, Big Thunder Railroad. That's a classic.
No, I rode Dumbo, the carousel.
Fun!
I went to the auto thing powered by Honda. Have you ever been on that? It's like bumper cars, but you can't bump nobody.
No, I haven't been on that one, powered by Honda.
Oh my gosh. And then, it's like in Tomorrowland, but it's gas-powered cars.
I was like,
wait a minute, this is today land.
Yeah. Oh, that's a sick burn. That is a sick burn. Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, are you interested in going back? Oh, well, do you like roller coasters?
Here's the thing. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But there's this big slide in Detroit. I don't know if you've seen it on Instagram where it has little waves on the way down and there's a specific way you have to ride it, but nobody can really figure it out. So people are getting annihilated on this slide.
Oh my God.
Just like slamming down. And I'm like, I kind of want to do that. So maybe I do like roller coasters.
Oh gosh. I feel like you would, especially because there's no chance of getting your, well, I guess there's always a chance of getting your teeth knocked out, but not like in this water slide where it sounds like you could really,
really hurt yourself.
Really hurt yourself. Oh boy.
I think I like roller coasters. I really like the Dumbo ride.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
And I love the teacups.
Oh, then you're going to love roller coasters because the teacups are the most barf inducing rides. Like that is the most barf inducing ride I think I've ever ridden.
Oh, okay.
Because you spin around.
I can handle a roller coaster.
And let me tell you, there's some great ones there. I hope you go. I hope you feel like you want to go back. But I understand if you don't because you had your fireworks not happen.
I think I will go back. I will say some of the ugliest families I've ever seen were there. This lady, her son.
Describe them.
Well. They weren't an ugly family. They're actually a fine-looking family, but this woman was so close behind me, and I was like, oh, I don't like this. And then her son touched my butt and coughed, and I was like, is he COVID? What is this? Why would you ever? And I turned around, and she just went, sorry? And I said, okay. Like, what am I going to do? Please don't let your son touch my butt and cough.
Yeah, what is that move?
I don't know, but I did not like it.
Get out of here. Ugh.
Yeah, it was weird and gross. I ate a turkey leg. It was too juicy and a little too salty.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And you, yeah, because with a turkey leg, the risk is that it's too dry, but this one was too wet.
Too wet.
Oh, no.
And then it like was getting in my teeth and I was like, I don't know if I'm having fun anymore.
Yeah.
So wait, are you like a big Disney head? Have you been numerous times?
No, listen, I go every day. I have gone quite a lot. I've gone to Disneyland a lot because, you know, it's right in our backyard.
It's only 30 minutes away. I was surprised.
I know. So I have been a lot over the years and have really gotten the experience down, I think, where I'm like, I know what I have like a focused idea of what I want to accomplish when I'm there. You know what I mean? I don't feel like stressed to like try to do everything.
Yes.
But I did recently go to Club 33.
Oh my word. And that's the secret. That's like the secret you have to like invite only. Don't tell anybody.
It's a secret.
It's a little secret.
I went with a friend who knew a member. And so, because you can become a member of Club 33 and then you get, I think what you get is like free parking and like, you know, you can come to the park anytime you want and you get certain like advantages or deals around the parks.
Oh.
And then you can make dinner reservations. Did you walk around the park at all? Did you go to like New Orleans Square or anything like that?
I think I went to New Orleans Square. We tried to get beignets. That's where Pirates of the Caribbean is. It's like over there.
Yeah. Yes. And so Club 33, there's a little secret door that's in New Orleans Square right by Pirates of the Caribbean. And it says 33 on it. And you go in, you have to like go through a series of checkpoints and you go up and you go in and it's this like restaurant that is on the top floor of like it's above Pirates of the Caribbean basically. Mm-hmm. So like you can go out on the terrace and look down into New Orleans Square.
Wow.
It's so cool, but Disney had made it for him to be able to like entertain, you know, dignitaries and people like that.
Oh, so, yes.
Yeah, so it was quite an experience and it was
Was the food good?
It was good.
I was sad that I didn't get to go to, I don't know, they have like Ant-Man restaurant where you get like big grilled cheeses and like little sodas.
No, they do. That's so fun. And you're a big Marvel fan now.
Apparently.
Right?
I finished WandaVision, even though I only needed to watch 3 episodes. And then I was like, I'm curious about this She-Hulk lady. So I watched that episode and I understood things. They talked about the blip. I was very excited.
Oh, you know everything. You're an expert.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh,
but I
boy.
Do know more than I ever thought I would know.
Right. Well, I think you would really enjoy then I think they call it the Marvel Campus at California Adventure, because it is, you're stepping into what's the
Wakanda?
Stepping into Wakanda, you're stepping into I'm thinking of like, or no, the Avenger Campus. The Avenger Campus is what I was about. So
okay.
You step, I don't know what city Avengers are in.
I think they were in New York and then maybe moved upstate.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. This is a guess.
Well, it feels like you're walking right into that place. So it's great. It's great. And there's a lot of really fun rides. And listen, you know, characters just wander around. You can see Spider-Man doing flips all around the campus.
I think I might have to go.
I think
Lauren,
you should go.
Went, and Lauren got to meet Loki. And she sent me this video of her like screaming after Loki. Or maybe it was just a picture of her with Loki. I can't remember. But I squealed.
Remember
I was like,
too.
She met Loki.
Yeah, it's exciting. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do and see beyond fireworks, even though the fireworks are great. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry that those didn't happen. That's such a bummer.
Thank you. Thank you for telling me you're sorry. Also, California Adventure closes earlier. The park closes at midnight, and there was children at midnight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those parents are squeezing every last penny of time that they can, which I understand.
I couldn't believe it. Another thing I couldn't believe, there was too many children that were too big for strollers. just like long legs coming out of these strollers, dragging on the ground. I was like, get this kid out of this stroller.
Get this kid out of the stroller.
I don't know. It's always like my first thought. I'm like, he's too big for that stroller. Why are you in that stroller?
Absolutely.
But, you know, maybe they needed to be in it. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be judgmental. Mary, who knows?
Who knows? There's so many different ways to look at it.
There truly is. Okay, Mary, this is a relationship podcast. So I wanted to ask you some relationship things.
Okay.
You got married on Halloween.
I did.
Was that because you're a big Halloweeny? Or it just like, you just decided Halloween? Like, how did Halloween come up as a day to get married?
I'm the biggest Halloweeny. I love Halloween. It's my favorite holiday. It's Matt's favorite holiday. And I hope that he came to that independently, but there's a good chance that I maybe forced that to be true for him. But we just love spooky things. We love eerie things. It's our favorite time in LA, the September, October time. There's so mm-hmm. many great, scary, spooky things to do around the city. And so when we were thinking of like, when should we trying to set a date for the wedding, we actually were on a trip to Salem, Massachusetts.
The spookiest part of maybe any part of the East Coast.
That's right. That's right. So spooky. And we were there Halloween in October of 2019. And we were taking this tour around the town, and the tour guide was like, next year, next Halloween in 2020, it's on a Saturday and it's going to be a blue moon. So if you're interested in coming to Salem at that time, book your tickets now because it's going to be crazy here. Mm-hmm. And so when I was like, that's it. We have to be married under the blue moon on Halloween. Like, that's perfect. Aww. That's perfect. And so we had planned this a ceremony with our families in North Carolina, and then we were going to do a party in LA, but then COVID.
Oh, no. Dang old COVID hit.
I know. So we pivoted, and we decided to do a little ceremony in our backyard on Halloween, and then the next day have a drive-through reception with all our friends, and then which you came to.
I did, and I should have dressed up just slightly more.
No, you were perfect. It was so lovely. And I think, I don't know if this was your experience at that particular time, but it was still pretty early into the pandemic, so I hadn't seen anybody. Like, I hadn't physically seen anybody in so long. And so it was just the most amazing thing to get to see our friends in 3D.
It was really nice. And I just remembered, I went with John Millhiser, and we were both like a little nervous before we arrived. We were like, oh boy, I don't know. I hope Mary likes this car. I don't know. I hope Mary and Matt like that. I don't know. And we're going to see people. And then got out of the car, and then it was just like, oh, wait, these are like friends, and it's nice, and no time has passed, and everyone seems okay. It was, it was one of the first times I had gotten to see people. It was like very nice.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, we have such wonderful pictures from that afternoon of everybody just, it did feel like a collective, we're okay. But then we ended up having we did like a postponed family celebration, and we did that last Halloween. So, aww. So we've now had two weddings.
I love it. The more, the better.
You know, that's it. That's
How did you meet Matt? I assume it's improv at UCB?
And it is improv at UCB. That's right.
Okay. So did you ask Matt out first or did he ask you out first?
Well, we were friends for like 4 or 5 years before we...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were on like an indie improv team together. We were, you know, we're single and started dating.
Oh, I love
and,
it.
Yeah. So I, but
wait,
I don't
do you remember
anybody...
who asked who out?
I know. That's your original question. let me think. I feel like it was sort of a mutual, it was... I think there was no like question being asked, like, will you go out mm-hmm. with me? But it was a thing of, I was the first to say how I was feeling. And then he mm-hmm. said how he was feeling. And then it was like from then on, okay, well, we're going out.
Oh, I like that. It just seems... It seems rather seamless and very easy.
It was.
And a hard
yeah.
thing for one to try to replicate.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely felt very organic. And, but I think it was because we had that really long history as, mm-hmm. as friends, you know, had that foundation there. But, oh, there were many times at the beginning of us like seeing each other where I was sort of panicking about how it was going along so seamlessly, like how we mm-hmm. were transitioning from friends into something more in this way that felt really natural and right. But I was panicking about that because I was like, I think this should mm-hmm. feel harder or like more confusing mm-hmm. or because I don't... My past dating experience had been not a lot. So, yeah, it was cool. But then it just kind of, we've been together ever since. So it worked out.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that you were like, why is this so easy? I'm suspicious of this being easy. Oh, well, it's easy and I like it. I'll stay.
Yeah. I guess I think the thing that I experienced with Matt that I was unsure, I was like a little wary of was he just really seemed to genuinely like me and enjoy my company. And there wasn't any, well, if I do this, maybe he'll like me, you know, like it just felt like it was very safe. It just felt very safe. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Can I ask you about when you were a teenager? Okay, so my assistant, she does research for me. She's very wonderful and I love her. So she found out that you were dating a guy as a teen who was the funny guy in class who would make fun of you a lot. And when you broke up, you felt powerless. So then you looked up Carrie online. Or no, you watched Carrie and then looked up online how to use telekinesis.
That is...
I really love that story.
So funny. Yeah, that's true. That was in middle school. I had a little bit of a crisis. Oh gosh. The details of it are Simon, I don't know if you feel this way about like looking back at that time in your life, but the details are like simultaneously very fuzzy. And also I'll never forget that, like super clear.
Yes.
But with this guy, yeah, it like everybody, every girl in school had a crush on this guy. Cause he was so funny and so popular and, just the most fun to be around. And we dated, I guess, in the way you date when you're 12 and don't know what that is. But yeah, he did like, he would make fun of people, some people in a really tough way. And then other people, I guess you could view it as teasing, but it felt not good. And I watched Carrie and I was like, this is the answer. I gotta get telekinesis.
I too watched Carrie at one point, and every time I felt like, and it usually was like romantically when I felt rejected, I was like, what if I could just move her away out of his mind and then he'll love me?
Yeah.
So I wasn't trying to move objects, I was trying to remove people.
Yeah.
From schools.
Oh, I get that too. Yeah. I get that. And I think you can use telekinesis to, like, you could probably physically lift someone with your mind and just, like,
I wish.
Move them to a different place.
I wish I had telekinesis. I think it would be fun.
I did, you know, I looked up how, and this was, like, also early days of the internet where I was, like, on, like, a GeoCities website or something, but I looked up, like, here's how you get telekinesis, or this is how you can practice it, and they recommended, I remember doing this, too, in my bedroom, they recommended getting, like, a toilet paper roll, like the cardboard cylinder, mm-hmm. and put an object on a surface and you know, hold the cylinder up to your eye and, like, so you're like focused, your vision is focused on the subject. And then just think about moving it. And I did that for like a whole night. I was just like looking through the hole of a toilet paper roll, trying to move a keychain or something. And it didn't work. It didn't work.
It didn't work.
It didn't okay. work.
I really do love that. I love that you tried. That's my favorite part of the story, that you're like, you know, I'll just try it. I will.
Yeah. That's my motto is you just, you know, try. See what happens.
I didn't date at all in middle school or
really?
High school.
Yeah.
It was just hard. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how girls were catching these gentlemen.
Yeah.
And then I remember, I don't remember talking about anyone like having sex or anything until high school. And I was like, how are they doing that? That seems crazy.
Oh my God. Same. I mean, it, truly this guy from seventh grade was like my only romantic fling in that time. And even then it was like, oh, we kissed at a football game. You know what I mean? Mm. So yeah, I was like, not the thought of people having any kind of sexual expertise at that age. I was like, what? How are you doing that?
Yeah, it blows my mind. Because even now as an adult, sometimes I'm a little awkward. And I'm like, boy, oh boy, Nicole, then, oh boy, how would it happen?
Same. And I feel like I would have for sure been like, I just need to do what I see being done in movies. Like that's, mm-hmm. that is the only way I'm going to know how to do this. And not that the opportunity ever came to me. I mean, oh God, I remember I got approached once and someone told me I stink.
Oh no. Wait, were they like, hey, you're cute, but I'm a little stinky.
No, it wasn't even someone I had a crush on or anything or any kind of romantic prospect. It was at summer camp. It was around the same, I was about the same age as I was when I tried to have telekinesis. And I remember at camp, I was sitting next to another girl in my cabin and she was like, you stink. You like smell bad. And I was like, what? I do? And then but it was important for me, you know, because then I learned, oh, showers are very important. Mm-hmm. And deodorant's a great thing. And it's something that you should invest in when you become a 13-year-old.
Deodorant is a wonderful thing. Yeah, I remember just being slightly dirty back then.
Yeah,
being
same.
Like, I don't have to shower every day. And it's like, no, friend, you do.
You do.
You gotta do it.
I know. It really felt like a chore to me. I think if I'm honest, Nicole.
Please be.
Showers do still feel like chores to me.
Yes.
And
fully agree.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Because I feel like most people have a very mature relationship with showering where they're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get in the shower like after a long day. And I'm like, oh, no, what?
Yeah, I don't want it.
I don't want it.
If I didn't have to shower, I wouldn't. I would just opt out.
Yeah, same. Now, that being said, oh, I love baths.
I do like a bath too, except when you get out of the bath, I feel like there's always the dirtiest little rig. I'm like,
how
am I this filthy?
I know. It's really frustrating. It's frustrating. So anyway, but my point is no one was asking me to bone at that time.
Oh, me either. Real quick, we have to take a break.
Okay.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so your social battery right now, is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Like, what's going on? And like, why is it at these levels? Maybe it's not enough boundaries. Maybe you're less social, at this time of the year. And it's easy to ignore these things and spreading ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings and stuff. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's important because finding a therapist is a little bit like dating. You're not going to click with everybody. So if you don't think they're for you, don't give up. Just try again. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe. Boop, boop, boop. We're back. Okay, this is one of my favorite facts about you. Your first job was a photography wench at medieval times.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
How long did you work there?
I worked there for a full summer. It was between my freshman and sophomore year of college. And it was in Schaumburg, Illinois. And I worked there every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for like 3 months, maybe. Loved it.
I don't remember medieval times very well, but like, were you in character being like, do you want a picture?
Yes. That was exactly what I said. And exactly the way I said it.
Oh, I love it.
How did you know?
I don't know. I was stalking you. I time traveled. I said hello.
Oh my gosh. Wait, I remember you. Yeah, I don't remember ever getting like specific guidance about a British accent or like a Cockney accent or whatever, but everyone around me was doing it, and it was sort of like, I guess this is part of it. You just slip into an accent. You did have to call everybody my lord or my lady.
Oh,
you did
okay.
Have to do that. And then, yeah, I sold. We would take pictures of people as they came in, and then we would print them out feverishly in like a photo lab while the show was starting. And then we would go around, we'd get like packets and we'd go around and try to sell them to the people that whose pictures we had just taken.
Now here's a question. Was it hourly or did you get paid when you sold packages?
Oh, I had an hourly rate, but it was a bad, it was $6.50 an hour.
No.
And then if you sold packets, the packets were $20. And if you sold mm-hmm. packets, you got to keep a percentage of that. You got like commission.
Okay.
And I was terrible. I could never sell anything. So I paid to work there basically. Cause I also, I drove 100 miles round trip to work there.
Mary.
I know.
100 miles round trip. That is wild.
I know. It was 50 miles from where I was living in the town I went to college in. And so I would drive 50 miles. I'd work and I'd drive 50 miles.
Oh my word. That's like an hour back and forth.
Well, when I tell you the car that I was driving in, it's going to really paint the picture for you. It was a PT Cruiser.
Oh, Mary. Mary, Mary, Mary. This is my favorite imagery. Did you get dressed at work or did you wear your work outfit in your baby? I call them baby hearses. PT Cruisers are the funniest cars.
I know. They're so funny. I thought they were so cool. But now I know better.
I think they're still pretty cool. Every time I see one, I'm really excited.
It's like an experience. But yes, my baby hearse. I would drive my baby hearse. I think I had my wardrobe with me a lot of the time, but you would also turn it in, like in the locker rooms, they had like a laundry station where people, you could turn your costume in and have it dry cleaned there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which was nice. And I loved the outfit. It was like a tiny little like half corset and then like a peasant girl top.
Yeah, like a billowy top.
Yeah.
It was, and then a long skirt.
Kind of. My skirt, because it couldn't get in the way of us, you know, trotting up and down the stairs. Mm. So it hit, I think, mid-calf. It was like a midi skirt, like a medieval midi skirt.
Ooh, I love a medieval midi. Oh, it sounds fashionable and delicious and delightful.
It was all those things. Oh, yes.
When did you move out to L.A.?
I moved to L.A. in 2007.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it like right after graduating college?
Yeah. Yep.
And what were your dreams when you first moved here?
Oh, Nicole, I had such dreams. My dream, I came from theater school. So I came from acting school and I had, stars in my eyes. I wanted to do film and TV and I wanted to be movies like Lord of the Rings, if we're being real.
Ooh.
I, of course, very naively was like, you just move to LA and you just do it. You just move to LA and you audition and you get things.
And book it and everyone wants you.
That's right. And they did. They really didn't. and they didn't for a long time, like eight-ish years. So it was... It was a tough time, but in that time, that's when I started taking UCB classes and doing improv, and that was definitely it was like an outlet that I so desperately needed and wanted in a community, and, you know, it was just, it was really a lifesaver.
Yeah, I think of UCB as such a magical place because I was like, wait a minute. So everybody here has basically the same goals and everyone is very funny and very nice. Like when I moved to LA, I was like, good Lord, everyone's so nice here. It was just very welcoming. Yeah, very welcoming, very nice. Because I'd met a lot of people through like DCM. And if you don't know what DCM is, it's Del Close Marathon Improv, 24 hours a day for 72 hours. Ooh, baby.
Ooh, baby.
I remember some of my first shows were at like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh my God.
Like so pumped for six people who are sleeping in the audience.
Yes. Yeah. So when did you move out here?
I moved out here in 2012.
Okay.
Yes. And then was
from
October
New York,
2012.
Right?
Yeah. I drove
drove my little Honda Civic to across country. It was terrible. I hated it. I'll never do it again. I didn't want to buy suitcases.
Oh.
And it never occurred to me to ship things. So I said, I'll take everything I can pack in a car, and then I'll just, like, put everything else in storage.
Whoa!
Yeah.
You didn't want to buy suitcases.
No. And then I didn't know about shipping things.
Got it. Okay. Got it. Wow.
It's very silly. So yeah, I bought a little car.
And did anybody go with you on this road trip, or was it solo?
Okay. I drove solo. I truly left New York at 5 p.m. Not good. And then made it to Chicago at an ungodly time in the morning. And then slept at my sister's place. And then my grandmother was like, just go with her, Catherine. I don't think she was working at the time. Or maybe it was a weekend. I don't know. But my grandparents were like, just go with her. This is not good. She can't drive by herself.
Yeah.
So she came with me. She wouldn't let me pick up hitchhikers. Nor did I
have
room in my car. Of course. What a story. What a fun time. Maybe we would have fallen in love. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be romantic.
It could have been very romantic. Yeah. Me, my sister, this stranger.
This man on the lam.
But yeah, LA, when I got here, it was just nice. And then I did comedy for a very long time before people were like, oh, we like this. And then even still on Twitter and on Reddit, they go, we hate this. Oh, but it's okay. I'm not for everybody.
That's okay. And that's something we do have to make peace with. I remember when you see those people who really don't love what you're doing.
Yeah, they're mad about it even.
They feel really upset that you were that you're a part of the conversation at all. Mm-hmm. It is a really good lesson, and like, you know, that's okay. I'm not going to be for everybody, and that's okay. But that's easier said than done.
Yes.
Because I do cry a lot about it.
Do you?
Well, yes, I don't know if you know this about me, but I am just a real great codependent lady. And so
that's not what I thought you were going to say. A great codependent lady.
Very, very much like do people like me? Are they liking me? And if they're not, like, what can I do to, that's also why, like, with Matt, when I didn't need to do that so much, that was like a really, it was like a relief.
Well, I'll tell you this. You're going to work forever. You're very funny.
You're going to work forever.
People who don't like you, Mary, I think are dumb.
And you know what?
What?
And people who don't like you, Nicole?
Yeah.
I think they can just hit the road.
Yeah, hit the road. Get out of here.
They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about.
They sure don't. Do you and Matt, do you guys perform together? I know you've done sketches together.
Yes.
Because you would fill in on New Money, our sketch team. But did you ever do like improv with Matt?
We did. We actually had a two-person team before we were dating. We had a two-person team because we were on an indie improv team together and just had so much fun that we were like, oh, let's start a two-person team. So we did a couple shows as a two-person team.
I really feel like you guys have such a strong foundation of a friendship that, like,
yeah,
I don't know. It sounds really sweet and nice.
Yeah.
And maybe it's what we all should be doing. Maybe I should be trying to make friends with people.
Yeah.
And then go, do you want to love me?
Well, I have to say, because before we were dating, I did try, I think this was in the times before Hinge and Tinder. And like, I feel like the dating world is so much more open and there's so many different ways to meet people now. But at the time, there was just like OkCupid and Match.com. And I went on a few dates through those sites. And it always was, none of them were great. The people were fine, but it was like, I think for me, your point is very true, where it's like, oh, I need to already kind of know a person and have a rapport with them in order to know if I'm interested in them. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like I can't really gauge that having just met somebody brand new. You know what I mean? On a yeah. date.
And I feel like dating is inherently bad because especially with like apps and stuff, because you talk to them via like a texting.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I'll fill in the blanks. And then you meet them and then you're like, well, I want this to work out. And then you're like, wait, I don't know. Maybe I don't. And then you don't actually get to be friends because you're just working on making it work romantically.
Right. Right.
I don't know.
I don't know. It does seem like it's so exciting because there's so many opportunities, but then also I can only imagine very confusing and very, the game playing that happens must be on a whole other level.
Yeah. Cause you're like, as a lady identifying person, people are like, if you go out with men, you have to like make them want to chase you, which inherently right. feels dumb because I'm like, why can't I just say, hi, excuse me, I think I like you. Do yeah. you want to have nice times? And then apparently that makes them scared. So then they go, no, thank you. I don't want that. But then if you date women, I've been told that they'll go, yes, I want to have nice times. Let's move in together. And then, I don't know. It's all very, very silly and weird.
It's all very silly and weird. And also, I think it is always going to feel tough when you feel like you have to like shape your behavior into something somebody else mm-hmm. wants or what you think or like what you anticipate somebody wants. That just always feels a little hard and confusing.
Yeah. Here's a weird question. Matt is also an actor and a performer.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you're rivals? I guess not, because you're going out for different parts. Is yeah. there any, yeah, is it hard on your relationship to be in the same industry?
It's not, I mean, I think there's like, yeah, that hasn't really come up for us. I think the nice things about that is that there's a real understanding of like how and crazy the scheduling can get or how like unpredictable it can be and things can come up last minute where you gotta leave for a long time mm-hmm. or, you know, our auditions come up last minute and plans get shifted. And so that kind of, there's a definitely like a mutual understanding of what this like mm-hmm. lifestyle and industry is. I mean, I think there's aspects of it where it's like, oh yeah, like I'm sure that we'll have opportunities that he would love to have and vice versa, but it hasn't come up in a way where it feels like there's a negativity mm-hmm. around it, you know?
Yeah. Because from the outside, it seems like you're like both your biggest cheerleaders for each other.
Yeah.
And it seems that's what it seemed like. And I was just curious to know if that was true.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I like that. I like that you guys both seem so excited about what the other one is doing. And then every time I see you together, you just seem like, I don't know, so happy. It's
Girl,
nice.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
It's nice. When friends are in love, it's right. nice to go, wow.
Yeah.
I sound insane. But like, I don't know. I'm like, I didn't realize how much of like a romantic I am. I think I spent my early 20s being like, oh, romance is dumb. Let me just fuck. But now I'm so horny for love.
Yeah.
I can't even.
Yeah.
I'm just like, love is nice and love is pure.
Love is nice and love is pure and love is good.
Love is delicious.
Love is delicious. Yeah. I feel so supported and loved. And I think that I said this to him a number of times where it's like, I hope he feels the same way, but it's like, I do feel so, he is a cheerleader for me and such a support that I feel brave enough to reach even even farther and higher. Like, I feel like knowing I have, that he's got my back and he's there and he's rooting for me. I want to accomplish more and try more and do more because of that.
I love that. Real quick, we gotta take another break.
See ya.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're back. I just want to read to you what a nice man said on one of these appies. Okay. This person's name on the app is Dirt. No, I'm not judging Dirt. I'm just like, is that your nickname? Why is it your nickname,
Dirt? That's interesting. Well, it's a conversation starter, that's for sure.
It is. And on Hinge, there's a prompt that says, 2 truths and a lie. Dirt says, I've never been to jail. I play video games all day. I love women. So I'm like, 2 truths and a lie. So I'm like, so you've been to jail.
I've never been to jail. Yes, it's so specific to include that in your like the first 3 sentences about you. It feels like, well, why are you bringing this up?
Yeah, why? What's going on, Dirt? Why?
Yeah, Dirt.
Yeah, Dirt. Just you can leave. You can leave some things to my imagination.
That's,
you know?
Right. Or you could just say, hey, I'm law abiding.
Hey, I'm Dirt. I abide by the law and the rules.
Hey, I'm Dirt. Wow. And is there a last name? I know you probably can't say it, but
no last
it's
name.
Just Dirt.
Dirt is like Cher. He's just Dirt.
He's just Dirt. Well, yep. And he loves women.
He loves women. He plays video games all day.
Maybe he's never been to jail. He loves women, but he doesn't play video games all day, you know?
Oh, you know what? Truly never occurred to me. I was like, surely Dirt's been to jail.
I love dirt. And I was like, maybe I'll try to match with dirt. But yeah. I don't know.
You don't know. Well, don't do you know. Like video games? Or do you? Are you into those?
You know, I'm not good at them.
Right.
During the pandemic, I tried to play, what was it called? Animal Crossing.
Oh, everybody was into that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like following the trends, but Tim Nook is a crook and you have to give him all your bells and then he won't let you have a house.
Right.
I was playing it.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I see.
And this person said to me, he said, I'm sure it's annoying to hear from fans when you're trying to find a man, but I just have to say, you make me so happy and I hope you find love soon, which was very kind, but I was like, if not with you, why? Why? Why talk to me? Because, you know, you get something in your little inbox and you're like, ooh, who's it going to be?
Yeah.
And he said, not me.
This was on Hinge that you got this message? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's confusing. That is a very nice message, but it's misleading on that platform.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Mary, can I ask you about when you moved to LA and you were a hostess at a fancy restaurant and they said that you were not fancy enough?
Get out.
How were you not fancy enough?
Oh, look at me.
Just I think you're fancy. Look at me.
Well, thank you. I am not fancy and I don't know how I got that job, but I was told, oh boy. We had to wear it was another job that had a very specific uniform. And it was like, I wore like gold lamé pants and like a really like a silk, like top thing that I wore over the gold lamé pants. And in my time there, I was a hostess there. And in my time there, we went through so many different general managers at this restaurant. Mm-hmm. But there was one who like called a meeting with the front of house with the you know hostess Dan and mm-hmm. and every other person who worked there was, I think two of them were actually professional models, one of them was like a tennis star instructor person, and I was told, well, the manager was like, okay, so I just wanted to like talk about appearances. And some of you are doing a great job. You show up to work. You're very polished. You're very clean. You're very sophisticated. And some of you look like you just rolled out of bed. And like, I felt everyone just kind of look at me.
Oh, no.
Because I had this like fuzzy hair and didn't know what I was doing with makeup. And it was very clearly about me.
But I also,
Nicole, I was like, sir, this is my best. This is me doing my best. And I hear the note. I hear the feedback. I am already spending 2 hours getting ready before coming here. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot. This is as good as it's going to get. So, yeah. I didn't work long there after that. I didn't get fired.
Okay.
I don't think. Maybe I did. Maybe I did get I don't think I did. But yeah, it was tough. You just gotta have a certain aesthetic as a person. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't really have it. I was shocked that I got a job at this fancy place in Beverly Hills. Like I really stick out like a sore thumb.
I don't think so. I also got fired from not being, I was told I was too jolly. It was this like trendy restaurant in Chelsea called Elmo. I don't know if it still exists. This is years and years and years ago.
I want to see if it does. How interesting. Okay.
And I wore for my first night silver, like a silver lamé or like faux leather skirt, black leggings, those like Peter Pan boots that like wouldn't go away for a while, and then a white turtleneck, and then like
big chunky jewelry and maybe a wig. I don't remember if I was wearing my hair short and natural at that time. But I just remember, and I did my makeup and I was wearing my blue contacts because I was like, for a while, really thought I was Lil' Kim. And I remember being like, I look amazing. Yeah, and then the manager was like, huh, this outfit, honey. And I was like, he called me honey. I don't think he likes my outfit. Yeah. And then I learned the floor plan or whatever and was seating people fine. And he was just like so mean to me.
Really?
And then the next day they like called. So I came in for my shift and they were like, can we talk to you, Nicole?
Oh, no.
And I was like, yes. And I think I was wearing like a red corduroy something.
Cute.
And I thought I looked really cute.
Yeah.
And it was like a gay place. And I thought like they would appreciate, you know, fun things. But they were like very like posh gay people. So they were like, Nicole, can you come in the back? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, we're going to have to let you go.
No, they what?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, am I not doing a good job? And they were, I remember the one guy who hired me was like, I'm so sorry. I think you're really wonderful. And I was like, okay. And then the other guy was like, yeah, I think you're just a little too jolly. And I was like, jolly?
Excuse me?
Jolly? I was like, is this a euphemism for fat?
Oh, or am my
I? But
God.
Then I thought back to being like, hello, here's your table. Do you love it? Like trendy music is playing.
I would love that if I had that experience at a restaurant. It's like it's joyful and unpretentious and like kind.
It's not the look they were
going for. Oh, forget it. Oh, I don't like that place.
I mean, they had an okay Cobb salad, but other than that, I would walk past it because it was right next to McManus, if you remember.
Oh,
McManus
yeah,
in New
yeah,
York
yeah,
on
yeah.
17th and 7th, I believe. So I would go to McManus and then be like, Elmo!
Elmo! Did you ever go
your
in?
Name was.
After you were
I
fired.
Don't think I went in again after I was fired. I think I was like very embarrassed and I was like, I couldn't possibly.
Yeah.
This is funny that I have this mug here. It's a mug that says, why won't you date me with Nicole Byer?
Well, and I didn't see the smaller print on it. I just see well, it's like a picture of Nicole and then it just says, date me.
Yeah. And the picture is done by this man named Ian. Oh, I wish I could remember his last name. Ian O'Fleming, I think. He'll just draw me every now and again.
Oh.
And he'll like listen to the podcast. I once was like, I wish someone would draw me as a fat storm. And he said, here you go. He's very, very sweet.
Oh, that's nice.
Maybe I should make a request right now since I'm talking about him. Okay.
Well, okay. Oh my gosh, what are you gonna do?
Okay, Ian, will you draw me as the only thing I can think of is like a cute lady riding a giant pig. And that sounds insane.
That sounds perfect.
I want that.
That sounds perfect. With a saddle or without a saddle?
No. Okay. Here's what I want, Ian, if you're listening. I don't even know if he still listens. But Ian, okay. Maybe he doesn't listen. Maybe he listens to a different podcast. I don't know. If someone knows Ian, get it to him. I would like to be... okay, I think her name is Pretty Persuasion from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. She's like a sex worker who's like a badass.
Whoa,
I want to be her
that's awesome.
Floating in a rubber ducky pool floaty.
I don't know who Pretty Persuasion is. I feel so out
no,
of
it's
touch.
Okay. It's a deep cut. So Sean Diston was on Newcomers,
yeah.
And he came up with fun characters for me and Lauren to play. He picked Pretty Persuasion for me, and then this wild-looking, I think, half-duck thing for Lauren. And it made me laugh so hard because I was like, I think that would truly be so perfect for Lauren to be half a duck. Lauren Lapkus, if you don't know
yes,
what I'm
Lauren
talking
Lapkus.
About. I think she'd be so funny as some sort of, like, animal.
Oh, yeah. She'd knock it out of the park. We need to see this film.
We got to see it.
I'm going to look for the Deadline article about it.
Oh, boy, do I love Deadline Day.
Oh.
When other people post deadlines, I get excited. I'm like, ooh, friends are getting deadlines. If you don't know what Deadline is, it's a pretty boring website that just tells you what's getting made.
Oh my gosh, then, we love it.
We love to screenshot it and be like, guess what's actually getting made, or what might get made, or, you know, there might be a post later where I thank everybody for the opportunity and it doesn't happen.
Oh my God. Yes, that, oh gosh, we live in such a wild time. The thing is, yeah, even you could even, like, it used to be, I used to like think about this business like, okay, well, you know, just because someone says something's going to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. You got to like wait until you're like actually there and you're actually doing it and you've actually, but even now, like with Batgirl, that's not true.
Mary, it blows my mind.
It's so upsetting.
They shot a whole movie with a Latina Batgirl and they said, we simply can't let another eye see this. I'm dying to see it because I think it would be a great movie. I don't know. I just, for me, I'm like,
horrified.
Representation matters so much. And it's like, well, it was greenlit. I know there was a merge and there's a change of power, but it's like, just let people finish out what they started.
Absolutely. All the filmmakers, like the creative team that was a part of that, I'm devastated for, because it just got yanked from them at the last minute for, I think, a tax break, which is
something
such bullshit.
Like that. Yeah, and there's a lot of like animation stuff that's getting pulled from like HBO Max, and I'm just like, God, people worked on this.
Yeah.
And it's like, sure, they all got paid, but I mean, there's one thing about like getting paid, but then there's another thing about being like, oh, here are the fruits of my labor, and I get to see all this work that we came together to make. And that's another thing, when people say nasty things about stuff, I'm like, do you understand that these people weren't trying to make something bad?
Yeah.
They were trying to make something good. So who was I talking to about this? It was about reviews. Oh, Maureen. You know Maureen.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking. I won't attempt to say her last name. It's a little hard for me. But she had gotten some reviews that weren't super nice for, God, what is the arm wrestling movie? You're in it. Golden Arm.
Oh, Golden Arm. Yeah,
yeah. She had less favorable reviews. And I was like, I wonder if any of these male reviewers realize that, like, it's a female buddy comedy. So maybe it wasn't for them.
Right. I know. Yes. And it is that thing of, listen, having, like, of course, everyone should have an opinion and is entitled to one. And that's all great. And should experience art that's put out there, they should have their own experience of it. But I do think that it can veer into a territory that does feel like it disregards, like, okay, but we all really put our hearts and souls into this. And like, it's like very personal to us. Like, this isn't just a spreadsheet that we put together. It's like, we're actually trying to make art.
Yes.
And so,
yeah. And that scene you didn't like took hours to shoot.
Yeah.
There's somebody who lit it up, who got the focus right on the cameras. There was a crew who liked it and
laughed
and had a nice time. And yeah, so much prep goes into it. So I'm like, just to like negate all that with like terrible, like, I don't know. I do think it's okay to have an opinion, but
for sure.
I do think it's also, I think you can also be like, for me, here's what I didn't like.
Exactly.
But I can also see why someone might like this, like might see themselves represented in something I don't understand. I don't know.
I know. Well, I think sometimes some reviews are just like, it feels like they are purposefully written to be as like eviscerating as possible. Like how can they get as clever and witty with their takedowns as they as they possibly can? And, and you're like, well, I'm a human, and you're like writing this about me, and it really feels really awful and so hard not to like internalize it forever and ever.
Yeah. And not take it personally and be like, well, that was, they didn't like that, so they're not going to like this. I've just truly learned to be like, you know, there might be a couple, like with my special, there was a couple like really very mean reviews. And I was like, well, there are people who do like it and they do like tag me on Instagram and like, that's nice. So I'm going to just focus on that, because I didn't make it for people who don't like my
humor,
who don't
want to watch my stuff. I made it for people who already like me and want to watch it. So I really had to focus on that. And that was hard work.
Yeah, that's really hard. But I'm glad you did that, because that's exactly it, is that it's like the, I mean, it's the same with freaking dating, where it's like, if you try to be what everyone likes, you're not going to be you, you know? Like, it's, that's, being you is the best possible way to find love and to also make good art. And that's what we're trying to do.
Mary, I like
you. Just
that.
Be you, because I think you're perfect.
Oh, Mary, thank you. Okay, I have a question. We're going to come to an end because I have to let you go, but I could talk to you all dang day.
Oh, me too.
Okay, would you date me?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, yes. Mary.
I do.
I do too. Mary, do you have anything you want to promote?
Oh, sure. You know, well, the holiday season is almost upon us. I know we're three or four months away, but you can always, it's never too early to get in the season spirits, and Happiest Season, I believe, is on Hulu. You can watch that. There's a movie called...
UPS are so funny in it.
Thanks, Nicole.
So funny.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know if you know, but that character is based on me.
I couldn't tell.
And then Senior Year on Netflix is a fun romp. And then The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window is the show that Nicole was talking about earlier. And then I am a part of a true crime a series on HeadGum called Corked, and that is out now. All episodes available to stream.
I love that. Mary, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, Nicole, thank you for having me. This was a joy.
It was a dream. Okay. If you liked this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe or whatever. Give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you write me something to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com hitting on me or saying something nasty, I will read it. Please do not send Mars dick pics. She is my producer. She has to sift through them. She does not want that.
No.
This nice person said.
Oh, God.
See, yes, Mary says no.
Yes. Okay,
this nice person said, you want to date me because I'll make sweet love to your beautiful curly locks every day. I'll fill your hair with so much sweet cock milk that you never need to buy hair gel again.
Cock milk? I want to run into a brick wall.
Okay, bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered.
Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.